Okay, tonight we're going to look at Psalm 5. Now, as I was telling some of you earlier, this was from a suggestion by Pat that I do at least one sermon on prayer. And I realized when I sat down to do it that I had this wonderful book by a guy named Doug Giles, who's a pastor in Florida, very much like me. He's a warrior. And he wrote a book that's called Psalms of War, Prayers That Really Kick Ass. And so I looked in there and I found this. He refers to it as against liars, because there's a part of it where people are lying about him. But actually, what it's about is when people are attacking you in all different ways. So Psalm 5, verse 1 to 12. Listen to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you. At daybreak, Lord, you hear my voice. At daybreak, I plead my cause to you and watch expectantly. For you're not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil cannot dwell with you. The boastful cannot stand in your presence. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who tell lies. The Lord abhors a man of bloodshed and treachery. But I enter your house by the abundance of your faithful love. I bow down towards your holy temple in reverential awe of you, Lord. Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my adversaries. Make your way straight before me, for there's nothing reliable in what they say. Destruction is within them. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongues. Punish them, God. Let them fall by their own schemes. Drive them out because of their many crimes, for they rebel against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever. May you shelter them. May those who love your name boast about you. For you, Lord, bless the righteous one. You surround him with favor like a shield. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I particularly thank you for David, because a lot of the prayers that he does are ones that I need to pick up on. Help us, Lord, to learn from this. Go with us as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I always try to get backgrounds on things. This is the prayer of David when he was in danger from lying enemies. Now, you will see in this the word temple. That word is also for the tabernacle. The reason this is significant is because there is a bunch of very wicked men who always try to prove that the Bible is messed up. And they will say, oh, David talks about the temple. But in fact, the temple hadn't been built until after him. That's true. The thing is that the same word refers to the tabernacle. So it's more likely that it was simply mistranslated, the exact same word. There are places in the Old Testament where that word is translated the tabernacle, because you could see they were out in the desert. There are other places where it's translated temple, because they actually was a temple and that's what it was. You talk about Solomon praying before the temple when it was dedicated. Well, same word as praying before the tabernacle when it was dedicated. It's just a word. And the big thing about this is that he's praying against people who are trying to harm him. But he's asking for guidance and leadership from the Lord. So he talks about morning prayer. He prays in the morning to start the day. And he asks God to hear his prayers that he brings to him. Now, when you look at a lot of the prayers that David prays, you find that it's actually what God had intended prayer to be. It's not us asking God for a bunch of stuff. It's us simply talking to God and discussing things with him. Very often I find myself talking to the Lord and saying, such a thing is going on, and I don't understand this, Lord. What's up with this? But it's just a conversation with God. When he wakes up in the morning, his first thoughts are praying and having a conversation with God about how am I going to live the coming day. And then he talks about his confidence in God. He has gone to God. Why did he go to him? Because he's confident in God. He says he knows he's accepted by God. He's been told by God that he's been accepted. He knows that God hates evil. Therefore, those people who are doing evil things are opposed to God. And he's doing everything he can to try to do what God wants. We see in many of the stories in Samuel and Kings that he had limited success at that because he was a man. But they've said that one thing about David was he was a great sinner, but he was probably the greatest of all repenters. He stresses God's mercy because he says, you know, I've done things that upset God, but he always has mercy on me and he always restores me. His enemies are arrogant. They come to God saying, oh, look at me, I'm so good. You should do what I tell you I want. And he says, no, God likes a humble heart, not an arrogant one. And of course, Jesus made that point several times. David is humble. He comes before the Lord and he knows this is the Lord. This is the guy who is ultimately in charge of everything. No matter who or what comes against him, if God is with him, he's fine. And then he makes a prayer for guidance. He asks for leading in the way that he should go. He says, Lord, my adversaries are wicked. They're not doing what you want. Please make my path straight so that I know where it is you want me to go and what it is you want me to do. He says, my enemies are lying about me. They're saying that I'm not doing the will of God. But I'm doing everything I can, trying to do the will of God. Help me to be in line with your will. He asks for judgment on his enemies. He says, you know, they're not doing what you want. Please judge them. Let it be known that if you don't do God's will, there's a penalty for it. And he says, those who take refuge in God rejoice because they're protected. They had a thing on TV the other day that I thought was just so beautiful because there were these little kids from Ukraine that had gotten out into Poland, and their parents had been killed. They're orphans. But this really large Polish guy was going to take care of them. And so he comes up, and this great huge guy with these little kids, and he just wraps them in his arms, and they're so happy because here is this big man that they feel is going to be able to keep them safe. And they're joyous because my protector is here. And I just thought that fit right into this. Those who take refuge in God will rejoice. God blesses the righteous. You may not get it right away, but eventually God will square everything up for you. And He shields you from evil. We have often said there's three ways God will save you. He may save you out of something, just take you completely out. He may save you through something by giving you the ability to make it through. Or He may just take you home and get you right out of it all. Some of us may look at some of this as not being something we wanted. But when you get on the other end of it, and I have done this, you look back and you say, yeah, God got me through. He hadn't killed me yet, but He's put me through a lot of stuff. And in the end, my faith was greater because I know I got through that because of God. So what does this all mean to us? Well, Paul says we're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to have a conversation with God that starts when we get up and barely ends when we go to bed at night. Just talk to God in all things. I'm not really great at that, but I have had periods of time when I've been able to maintain some of it, and they've been really good times. Start your day with prayer, and then maintain contact all day long. Be confident in God. Believe that He's going to take care of you. We are accepted. That is one of the things that I run into the most when I'm trying to lead somebody to the Lord, is people telling me God doesn't want me. And I tell them God loves you and He has a plan for your life. Just figure out what the plan is and follow it. God wants you to come to Him. We are accepted. God loves us and He hates evil. Now, a lot of people say, oh, we shouldn't be so absolutely cut and dried. Well, I'm sorry. Right now, I believe God loves Ukraine and He hates Russia. Because there's the good guys and there's the bad guys. And I'm sorry, it's pretty cut and dried over there right now. We need to be humble. We need to go to God with an attitude that I don't deserve any of His grace, any of His mercy, any of anything. I don't deserve it. But You say You love me, so hopefully You'll give it to me. We need to pray for leading at all times. That's one of my biggest prayers. Lord, what do You want me to do? Where should I go now? What should I do now? How should this be dealt with? And something comes up and you say, what do I do? And God will give you the ability. Pat will tell you, when I came out of the Air Force having been a policeman, I never wanted to be in a hospital ever again, most particularly the emergency room. Now, as pastor, I have been in many hospitals. I have been in emergency rooms when somebody's had problems. And the Lord has got me through it. And He's gotten me to the point where it doesn't affect me the way it used to. I have a thing that I do that I call deal with it mode. Just lock everything out and deal with it. I'm trying not to do that anymore because that's what got me all messed up at one point. So what do? Well, you have to depend on the Lord. Pray for leading at all times. Ignore the lies that might be told about you and follow God's plan. That's hard. But that's what he wants from you. You can pray for judgment. When somebody is doing things that's that bad, you can pray for judgment. You can say, Lord, the Russians are acting in a way that is in nowhere even near the way you taught us to be. I pray for judgment on them. I pray that you will pull them back and heal Ukraine. Because we can look at it and we can tell which side is God going to be on. This is a little concept they call justifiable war. There are times when you have to go to war because there's no other way. And remember, God is your shield. Now, sometimes he may be a little bitty shield, and he's only protecting the vital areas, and you're taking damage in the periphery. And sometimes he's a really big shield, and it just everything gets turned away. But he's always there. And he's always doing what's best for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've had this word from David, that we've learned to pray against people who would do us harm. Help us to remember all these things and these principles in our prayers to you when we're just at our wit's end. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.